Well, good morning and welcome to the second hour of Focus 580. This is our morning talk program. My name's David Inge. Glad to have you with us, the producers for the show, Harriet Williamson, Martha Deal, and we're coming to you this morning from our production studio, so that means it's Mike Pritchard who is at the controls. And we're real pleased in this hour to be doing something a little different from that we usually do. We have an in-studio performance this morning with our guest, Jesus Negrete. He is an interpreter of Mexican Chicano music. He's also founder and director of the Mexican Cultural Institute of Chicago. He's well known as a folk musician and ethnomusicologist. He's a man who has been called the Chicano Woody Guthrie. That was Studs Terkel who said that. So I said, if Studs is good enough for Studs, it's good enough for me. He's here visiting the campus. We'll be doing some performing and some talking. His visit here is sponsored by the Intersections Program. That's a multiracial community that was started in 2004. The idea here is to increase diversity, understanding of diversity, improving race relations on the college campus and beyond. I'll tell you a little bit later about some of the things that he'll be doing while he is here. Let me tell you just a little bit more about him. He has degrees from University of Illinois at Chicago and also Chicago State University. His specialties are in educational anthropology and ethnomusicology. He's done research projects on the Mexican-U.S. border economy and also among railroad workers and Chicano at-risk youth. He also has an honorary degree from the University of California, Berkeley, in recognition of his donation there to the University Library System of Research on Historic Corridos, that is the Mexican running verse ballads, which is a form that we'll talk about and something that he specializes in performing. He was born in Mexico. He spent his early years in Texas, where his family were migrant farm workers. And then from the age of seven, he grew up in South Chicago and now continues to live in Chicago. And we're very pleased to have him here in the studio, just to also to remind people that in this particular hour of the show, because we're here in our performance studio, we will not be taking calls. That's just a little complication that we don't need. So we hope that you will enjoy listening to our conversation. And welcome to the studio. Well, I'm very glad that you could be here.
Okay. I'm glad to be here. So I'd like to start out with a corrido.
Yes, please.
And people always call me Chuy. Jesus Chuy Negrete. That's how you can reach me on Google, too. So the little town that's right close to us is called Onarga. Okay, so this song is called Vámonos para Onarga. Vámonos a Illinois, where our family came to work, and toil. Illinois, Illinois, where we came to work and toil. In the steel mills and the fields of the state of Illinois. Vámonos para Onarga. Vámonos a trabajar. Vámonos para Onarga. Green Giant in the state of Illinois. Illinois, Illinois, where we came to work and toil, from the north and the south of the state of Illinois. Vámonos para Onarga, vámonos a trabajar, vámonos para Onarga. Vámonos a trabajar.
Uy. Well, I have just enough Spanish to understand the song. Is this a corrido?
It's a corrido. It's a corrido. And a corrido, like I said, comes from the word correr, which means running. And American musicologists usually refer to these as running verses. So, for example, an American running verse, well, the part that I was doing in English, Illinois, Illinois, is like an American running verse, but I always like to use this as an example to the American listener. This would be an American running verse, and it happens in the year like 1891. And think about this running verse happens up there in Nome, Alaska. Big Sam left Seattle in the year of 92 with George Prep, his partner, and brothers Billy too. They crossed the Yukon River to find the Bonanza Gold below that white mountain just a little southwest of Nome. They crossed the majestic mountains to the valleys far below. They talked to the team of Huskies as they mushed them through the snow, where the northern lands were running wild in the land of the midnight sun. Yes, Sam Cordy was a mighty man in the year of 91. Yahoo!
Yahoo!
Not bad. Not good, but not bad. The running verse. Meanwhile, in the same year, 1891, in the border around Brownsville, Texas, the corrido sounded a little bit like this. Ya con estaban tres veces. Que se ha visto lo bonito. La primera fue en McAllen, en Brownsville y San Benito. Le preguntaron su nombre, su gente y su dirección. Llamo Silvano Gracia, soy de China, Nuevo León. El perro, uy,
uy,
uy, ay, ay, échale lo corrido.
So this is a song that people would, as you say, people would spontaneously do these songs in response to some sort of current event, something that would happen. So this, in a sense, this was a kind of a news bulletin song.
Yes, exactly. So, for example, here at the University of Illinois in the Department of Musicology in the music school, they have the works of Américo Paredes. He was like the godfather of Mexican musicology. And so, you know, he talks about the fact that in 1891, to, you know, in those early years, even like before the Mexican Revolution, 1910, the Mexican population in general was like 75% were illiterate. They're like landless, masses of landless peasants. You know? So the corrido was a way of, and so it was true for, you know, the North American frontiers guy in 1891, you know, he couldn't read or write. So the ballad also became like his newspaper, you know, and you stop thinking about the works of like Johnny Horton, you know, he had a lot of songs, you know, like, well, in 1814, we took a little trip down with Colonel Jackson through the mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon and we took that little beans and we fought the bloody British, the town of New Orleans. Fired our guns and the British came a-coming. Well, there wasn't quite as many as there was a while ago. Fired our guns and they began running down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. Well, that Gulf, the Gulf then picks up the blues then. The blues then is that third element, which is the worker coming up the Mississippi. And so that's where Mexican workers and black workers meet, going up that river. And so the blues then is the third element that I'm speaking about. Because in that same year, you have to think, like, Big Boss Man, Don't you hear me when I call? Oh, big boss man, I said, don't you hear me when I call? Well, now that I'm free, I guess I'm gonna go up to Chicago. Big boss man, el patrón, the patrón.
So it's the man.
So
everybody
the three,
the man.
The so, you know, my ability to mix all three of them into a program for an hour and a half or so, as was the result of the work that I did. In musicology, so that was the work that so I was a folk singer when I was a younger man, just a folk singer, but I became this Dr. Chuy Negrete here at the well at the University of Illinois, you know, where I learned what was musicology and those elements from my good friend musicologist Pablo Poveda. So Pablo was a musicologist from Spain, mm-hmm. and so in those years, 1980s, we did this work with these Mexican workers, and I had done stuff with blues because I lived in Chicago, so I knew a lot about the blues workers, and the third element, the running verse, I went down to the south, to the Carolinas, so I learned a lot about the. But I had a lot of work with the Woody Guthrie archives and the John L. Lewis archives and the labor archives. So I'd known about the running verse also. So those are the three elements that we're bringing to the show, these three shows that we have.
Well, let me, for people who might have just tuned in, let me again introduce the guest. Our guest is Jesus Chuy Negrete. He's, for a long time, has been doing this kind of thing, doing performances in part to talk about the experiences of Mexican Americans, but not just that.
And labor. And labor.
All kinds of workers, basically, working people. He's a founder and director of the Mexican Cultural Institute. That's in Chicago. And he has performed and lectured and taught many universities across the country. And he is here visiting in Champaign-Urbana and will be doing a performance at 8 o'clock tonight in the Sanders Lounge of the Pennsylvania Avenue Residence Hall. And I'm sure anybody who's interested can turn out for that. And he'll be doing, again, another part of this. So that's 500 Years of Latino History, Part 1. And then Thursday night, tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, 500 Years of Latino History, Part 2, in the same place. That's in the lobby of PAR. And if you're interested, you certainly should feel welcome to attend. It's sponsored by the Intersections Program here on the U of I campus. He is a graduate at University of Illinois, Chicago, and also Chicago State, where he studied educational anthropology and ethnomusicology. And we're pleased that he could be here in the studio. How did you get interested in folk music and doing ethnomusicology?
Well, it had to do with a man by the name of Cesar Chavez, who in 1968 came to my little town in South Chicago, to the place called Our Lady of Guadalupe, like he had come to other churches. Up to Chicago, from Mexico you have come, to the fields of California to toil in the sun, with your wife and seven children, they're working everyone. But what can you be giving? What can you be giving to your children of the sun? Your face is lined and wrinkled, and your age is only 41. Your back is bent from picking, like your dying time has come. Your children's eyes are smiling, because their lives, they have just begun. But what can you be giving? What can you be giving to your children of the sun? And so you marched on Easter Sunday to the Capitol you have come, and you fought for union wages, and your fight has just begun. You're a proud man and woman, and this heritage is won. And it's this heritage of struggle, it's the heritage of struggle that you can give to your children of the sun. And he told us that day, Cesar Chavez, he told us that we were men and women who had struggled and endured much. And not only because of our poverty, but because we have been kept poor. The number of our dead in recent wars, the Vietnam War, our lack of formal education, all these burdens, generation after generation, have sought to demoralize us, to break our human spirit. But God knows that we are not beasts of burden. God knows that we are not agricultural implements, that we are not slaves. We are the men and women who come to places like Onarga to toil in the sun. We are the men and women who bring food to the table of America. And he told us that in the end, we the farm worker and the students, we would win. And so they marched on Easter Sunday to the Capitol they have come, and they fought for union wages, and their fight have just begun. Huelga, 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 it means strike. Huelga, 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 we have just begun to fight. Viva Cesar Chavez. And so was Caesar when he came to, and he asked people to join him. He asked students. He asked us. So that's how I got started, because they asked, well, who can play a guitar here? You know, Well, I was into church music. I was playing, but because of my involvement with the students on campus, with the United Farm Workers. You know, I started learning the huelga songs. So my first songs that I learned as a folk singer were the songs of the UFW, and that's how I started with the UFW, the United Farm Workers, as a folk singer. Mm-hmm. And so today, 30 years after the same guy who was the director of the Chicago office of the United Farm Workers is now the executive vice president of all of the janitors in America, the Service Workers International, Eliseo Medina.
Oh, I met him. He was here a couple of weeks ago. Well, more than a couple of weeks ago, maybe a couple of months ago. He was on the show. Yeah.
He was. So we see each other across the country, but you know, with the labor movement, and so today, you know, that's how I started to perform. As a folk singer.
And so how
in the
was
later
it?
Years, then, you know, when I came to work here, you know, I learned that about musicology, you know, and that music is not just something quaint, you know, it's powerful, it has dimensions, it has what Ortner calls its ability to fuse different forms, you know, dance, the song, the dance, the joke. So it's not just it's something very important. And it, you know, it continues to be, like I said, not much airplay. Diffusion is the problem right now we have with diffusing the music. So we really appreciate the, you know, and the people that are listening. Remember, take our number down. May I give them our number?
Sure, of course.
And you can always call us. 773-764-6110. That's 773-764-6110. And on the, just ask Google to to look us up, Jesús Chuy Negrete.
Tell me, I'm just curious about how it is your family ended up going from Texas to Chicago. And was that a bit, and from living in, from your life, whatever life was like in Texas, was that a big change?
It was a big change, but, you know, I began to look at how we moved as a people, see? See, my father was now just like an, he was like an, not an individual worker. He was part of a mass of workers, you know, mm-hmm. you know, from the state of Guanajuato. The Guanajuato worker came through Laredo, crossed through there, and then the Guanajuato worker began to go to Kansas City, Joliet, Illinois, and into the steel mills of South Chicago, Indiana Harbor. And so a lot of people from the state of Guanajuato wound up in South Chicago, where my father, that's how we wound up through the Guanajuato Worker Network.
Yeah. So he was a he worked in the steel mill?
Right, right, in the steel mills and the railroads, of the Elgin, Joliet, and Eastern Railroad, you know. And so we worked in Iowa as migrant workers, and then we came to Onarga here, mm-hmm. Onarga. From Onarga, my father went to work in Michigan. So we were migrant children, right? And so, but here, and so here it is that, you know, I'm singing about the things that I lived, you know, but the music had to, I had abandoned the music, see, the music had to find me and reshape me and say, hey, you know, the corrido is waiting for you. It's over here, you know, because, you know, like other youth, you know, I was caught into rock and roll and, you know, the dominant culture was like penetrating us severely. So, you know, it was, so I had to find the music and the music had to relocate myself. And in doing it, I also rediscovered the world of my father, which was the old music, the old corrido, which I used to call like, oh, that's that dumb Mexican stuff as a kid. But that's what happens to youth now. See, that's what happened. See, that's what, you know, part of our work is to talk to youth about cultural penetration. Yeah. Not everything in culture is positive.
Well, I like the idea that this is a traditional form, but it's still alive and it's still modern, and people are still writing. People are writing new corridos and new about corrido. Things that are happening.
Albert Garcia.
In fact, you said you were going to do
Albert
one
Gonzalez,
for Albert Gonzalez.
El corrido de Albert Gonzalez. But I don't know. I might get in trouble. You know, but yeah, the people. You know, the people who writes corridos. Who's writing corridos today? A lot of young men and women who are involved with, in unions, in their own unions. Mm-hmm. So I see a lot of folk singers that are coming out of their fathers are unions, they're in the unions. And a lot of folk singers coming out of the immigrant rights movements. And, you know, and also on, you know, on college campuses, you know, the folk singer. And so we're here too, you know, to try to encourage young people to help them with our workshops on the corrido and, because we say that every Mexican family has a corrido. It just they haven't discovered it, you know, because everybody came here, mm-hmm. everybody migrated, you know. So everybody has a corrido. So the corrido is picking up steam because the immigrant worker that came to Champaign, Illinois, those seven men from Zacatecas, they brought the corrido with them. And so they continue to replenish because the immigrant worker is not only bringing himself, like all those workers that in Beardstown, Illinois, that were busted from the, you know, they continue to come and replenish the culture. So they bring their music with them. So here we are, you know, 30 years later, and we got a better station, you know, more diffusion of the culture, more Mexicans here in Urbana Champaign, you know. And, you know, more people doing work in the study of the music.
Yeah. Well, play something else.
Órale. Okay, this is a song that the marches of the immigrant workers do. vámonos a pelear en la guerra, que la tierra es de nosotros. Y como hermanos y hermanas, por nuestros hijos lucharemos. ¿Ves la madre campesina, luchadora por el pan? ¿Ves la madre con sus hijos, luchadora por el pan? Ya no llores, corazón, no nos van a desraizar. La semilla está bien sembrada, vámonos todos a marchar. Let us march for our rights. Brown, red, black and white, all the students must unite. Brown, red, black and white, all the workers must unite. Come join the AFL, come join the CIO. Come join the AFL, come join the CIO. Dice Lucy Gonzalez that day in 42, they're at the factory gate as they marched out for you. 10,000 workers strong, they marched that day. Allá on 104th in South Chicago too. Don't listen to those bosses, don't listen to their lies. We poor folks haven't got a chance unless we organize. Orale. Which side are you on? 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 Solidaridad pa' siempre, solidarity forever, solidarity forever, for our union makes us strong. Viva la raza, viva la gente, viva los estudiantes, viva los trabajadores.
Our guest here this morning is Jesus Chuy Negrete. He's known as a folk singer, has done labor organizing work. He's an expert in multicultural education. He has degrees from the U of I Chicago and Chicago State. His specialties are educational anthropology and ethnomusicology. He does a lot of traveling, talking, singing, performing. As I mentioned beginning of the program, Studs Terkel, no less than Studs Terkel, called him the Chicano Woody Guthrie. He's founder, director of the Mexican Cultural Institute and has performed and lectured and taught many colleges across the nation. He is here as a guest in residence of the Intersections program. This is a program, a multicultural community here on the campus. It's been around for a couple of years. They're interested in trying to promote diversity and improving race relations, both on the campus and beyond. And he's going to be giving a couple of programs tonight and tomorrow night. One of the things that he does is use song to talk about Latino history, and he'll be doing that tonight at 8 and tomorrow night at 8 at PAR on the campus. And I'm sure anybody who is interested in stopping by and hearing more of his music should feel free to do that. He was born in Mexico, spent his early years in Texas, where his family were migrant farm workers, and then from the age of 7, he grew up in South Chicago. His dad worked in a steel mill and on the railroad and did some other things, and he still makes his home in Chicago. And maybe I just mentioned again that just for this hour of the show, we're here live in our performance studio, but we decided we wouldn't take calls. We'd just talk and have him play, and I'm real pleased that you could be here.
Thank you. Thank you very much. As we leave the air?
No, we got another 20, 25 minutes, so we got plenty of time.
Well, I like to do this one piece from the beginning of the show. song in partly in Nahuatl. Nahuatl was the song, the language of the Maya, the Azteca. And it says, Pa shanin gavinan spada willi nan giti feo ni feo milanayi negitubila shido nesha shaya nanyali nesha shaya nanyali. In the year 1521, on the last day that we were free, El Buclocani, the great leader of the Confederation of Anahuac, from hence came our forefathers, declared the call of our blood was our unity and our strength. And on that day, he declared the following: destroy your ball fields, destroy your schools, destroy your books of learning, and hold everything that you hold sacred in the center of your heart. For the dark days are upon us, but we shall return to replace our rightful place. We will be back. Regresaremos, forjará nuestra nación, chiseled with our Toltec hearts, y en la tierra como el sol, en la tierra como el sol, we shall rise again. But right now we need to go back. We need to go back to where the truth lies. We need to go back to where the truth lies. Because I'm not from Spain, but I'm the one who felt the pain. I'm not Latino, because the men from Latin, they're from Greece and Rome, and Rome is not my home. I'm from Mexico. I'm from Mexica. The scars of history around my face and the veins of my body that ache. Y a veces vomitamos sangre, but we continue to cry libertad. We continue to sing out libertad. Pashanin gavinan spada willi nan giti feo ni feo milanayi negitubila shido nesha shaya nanyali nesha shaya nanyali.
Tell me some more about that song.
Okay. It's the song, the literal translation of it is if they speak to you, if they speak to you of me, my brown woman, if they speak to you in your presence, tell them that I am your black saintly person. I am the ugly one, but an ugly one who knows how to love. And I love you with my heart. And I love you with my heart. And it was a song that the first Spanish woman came to the Mexico, this Indian fell in love with her, you know, the light-skinned person. But he knew that because of his place, he couldn't have her. He could, so he would sing to her from the jungle, you know. Pashani, Gavinan, Spada Willi, Because he would tell her, yo soy un feo. Yo soy un feo, which means I am the ugly one. I am the ugly one, but I know how to love. But I use it to frame the last commands of Cuauhtémoc. When I say in the year 1521, on the last day that we were free, I just frame the sound of it. The sound is just, Bashanin Gamina, to give the last commands of Cuauhtémoc, which are the last commands of Cuauhtémoc, to frame it.
Please turn off your cell phones before the performance. Is it important? Oh, okay.
That's what we're talking. I'm talking about.
Yeah. There's this. I wanted to ask you about that line where you said you're not Latino. The Latins were the Greeks and the Romans.
Yeah, because see, when I'm talking about like the seven guys that I study here, my father's people. They're Indians. They're natives. They're nativos. You look at their faces, you know. They're not Hispanic because, you know, Hispanic is like from Spain out there in Hispania somewhere, right? And Latino, you know, that word is like from the Latin, and Rome is not my home. He says, you know. Again, this is a poet, mm-hmm. who's trying to establish the nativism of their movement. So that's what they mean by it, that yeah. They're not Latinos. We're natives. We're Mexica. We're Mexicans. We're Mexican Americans. But that whole Hispanic, you know, we've traced that down to the early 1968 and the Republican National Convention's thrust to use that word Hispanic. But it doesn't come from the people, you know. That's why the guy says, you know, in that song, we have to go back. We have to go back to where the truth lies. Mm-hmm. So we have to go back and study, let's say, what were the last commands of Cuauhtémoc, you know? What did he tell his people to do? And he told them, destroy your art, you know, destroy your things, and take everything that you hold sacred into the center of your heart, because the dark days are... And that's true. That's what happened. You know, the dark days came. And the Spaniards destroyed all that stuff. Anyway, but that's why in that poem he's asking the listener to, you know, cast doubt on these Hispanic Latinos, and think about what people are really. They're really natives. They're nativos.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you about another word, and that word is Chicano, which is a relatively recent word that has not been around all that.
1950s.
Yeah.
Right. See, Chicano is the political identity of the Mexican American, because there was a Chicano movement, Chicano studies, right? No one, they did a study at the University of Michigan, you know, like how many people utilize the word Chicano, you know, only like 15%. And in 1980 was even utilized the word Chicano, you know. Mm-hmm. But it definitely, Chicano is tied to the political activism of the Chicano struggle, the Chicano movement. We mark history like 1968. But, you know, I would say the Chicano struggle itself, you know, as a movement, you know, ends with the murder of Rudy Lozano in Chicago, you know, the last, you know, assassinated Mexican-American leader, you know, which, you know, a lot of people don't even know about.
Well, tell us about it.
Well, here it is. Thank you. estás. Y abren las balas, se oyen los gritos del asesino. Asesinos, dictadores, asesinos. Mataron a Rudy Lozano. Rezan rosarios para el compañero Rudy Lozano. Vinieron muchos hasta Harold Washington a despedirse del compañero Rudy Lozano. Rezan rosarios en funerales al compañero Rudy Lozano. They pray rosaries that day en el nombre del Padre, del Hijo y del Espíritu Santo. Madre María, ruega por nosotros ahora en la hora de nuestra muerte. Amén. En nombre del Padre, del Hijo y del Espíritu Santo. Madre María, ruega por nosotros ahora y en la hora de nuestra muerte. Amén. Compañero Rudy Lozano, tu muerte no ha sido en vano. Las ideas que tú dejaste ya las tengo aquí en las manos. Las ideas que tú dejaste ya las tengo aquí en las manos. Yo quiero que me recuerden como revolucionario. Yo quiero que me recuerden como revolucionario. Compañero Rudy Lozano, tu muerte no ha sido en vano. Before he died, Rudy Lozano also broadcast the following message to his people. He told them, if you want to live forever, you can never live at all. It is only when you have accepted the fact that you must die that you can truly live. Es mejor morir de pie que seguir viviendo de rodillas. It is better to struggle on your feet than to live on your knees. Compañero Rudy Lozano, las ideas que tú dejaste ya las tengo aquí en las manos. So that was the death of Rudy Lozano, 1983, and that was the year that I left grad school. So, you know, his murder is it cuts Mexican American history. You know, it ends with I see it. You know,
yeah.
Certain events, you know, happen in Mexican American history that, you know, when Caesar calls a strike, when the Vietnam, when they have the moratorium in L.A., when they have the riots, and when the student movements pick up. And when the labor struggle gets going on campuses too, but you know, all these movements, they don't get done without students. You know,
so do you find that
students are the you know, of all the main Mexican American struggles, almost students, and they're multinational. You know.
So you find that today's students, because, you know, a lot of people like to say it's not like it was,
but
you think that students are really are engaged.
Yeah. You know, because there's students against sweatshops, you know, student helping out those farm workers. And it's the students are always at the front of the struggle. And they're the volunteers, too, that they work in the... When I was up with the Immokalee growers, the guys from against McDonald's, and they were against the Taco Bell, half of them were, like, white students from New York State colleges, you know, and, or from Berkeley. And, you know, they speak a little Spanish. And it's a good way for them to work with the people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're working towards their social work degrees or... So, you know, I see that activism is still very much alive, you know.
Yeah. What do you think that it means for America that now we have more and more Spanish-speaking people coming from, a lot of people coming from Mexico, but from other places too?
Well, you know, I think that unless you're, like, a lot of, you know, like, it's not something that's new, you know. It's like so old, you know. we just have to. But you know, a lot of people are in. They just don't have a good historical conception of their lives or the life of their country, you know. Because, you know, we Mexico as a country, you know, we've been here since, like, you know, we've always been here, you know. Like I always think about Cahokia, right? Like, the Mexicans that came to trade with those guys, like, in the 14th century. And today, the Cahokia Mounds are all full of Mexican Indians. And so, look, they're still coming to these damn mounds, those 7 centuries, you know, mm-hmm. to do the same thing, work with the land. And... So it's you know, people get a different view of history because they get to listen to more political views, more of culture, of cultural issues, you know, and so, you know, that they're coming here like Urbana, right? It goes from 4% Mexican, Latino, now it's 14%. So they're coming to Midwestern parts. But in the mass majority, they've always been there, you know, in the Southwest, you know. You know, they've always been there. They're native people. They're native to that land, those lands. They might, you know, like come up to, like I said, even you could say, well, the Mexicans, they migrated to St. Louis. But I was telling you that Mexicans always migrated to those because they traded with those brothers, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but these are new things that, you know, musicologists, historians, you know, our main premise is that all human behavior is grounded in that historical context. So we need, you know, to have our, you know, a good historical view of our behavior.
Yeah.
So we're working with these students here, and, you know.
We got about a minute or two left.
And we're going to do our classic departure song.
All right.
Okay, you ask about that word Chicano. Chicano, yo soy Chicano, and I'm proud and I know I can do it in my own good way. Some people say we're crazy, some people say we're lazy, I'm not, soy puro Mexicano. Yo te hablo el inglés. Hello, how are you? Fine, thank you very much. And I can also speak castellano. Yo soy de la raza de oro. Yo soy mexico-americano. Chicano, yo soy chicano. And all across the USA, when people ask me, what's my name? Chicano, soy Chicano, that's champagne.
All right. Our guest this morning, musicologist Jesus Chuy Negrete. He's an interpreter and presenter of Mexican and Chicano music and stories. Also the founder and director of the Mexican Cultural Institute in Chicago, and he's here as guest in resident of the Intersections program on the U of I campus. Thanks very much for being
Thank
here.
Very much.
It's great. And I do want to mention again that he'll be doing this two-part performance, 500 Years of Latino History, Part 1, tonight at 8, Part 2, tomorrow at 8, at the PAR, the I think that's Pennsylvania Avenue Residence Hall. And then he'll be doing a lunch Friday at La Casa. So I'm sure that anybody who is interested in meeting him and hearing more from him should stop by. And you can look for him on the web at Jesus Chuy Negrete. Very good. Well, again, thanks very much.
All right.